Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, I hope everyone is strapped in because this is going to be another incredibly jam-packed global transmission against tyranny. I'm Alex Jones, your host. It is the 26th day of March, 2012. And we have Gerald Celente, ripped off by Don John Corzine, joining us. Now, we have the clips of Corzine saying he didn't know where the money went, as if it wasn't all on record, and as if, as CEO, he didn't give the order. Then we have Terrence Duffy, the head of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, CME Group. First, the CME Group put out his prepared statement hours before he gave the speech months ago, the testimony before Congress. And then when he got up there, he went off script and said that Corzine did know and gave the order. Now, we have the spectacle now of all the emails via lawsuits being forced to be released. And what does this tell us? What we already knew. The mainstream media and the federal regulators, most of them former minions of Corzine, knowingly are lying, and the feds aren't going to do anything. The media is. In fact, the media, the corporate prostitutes, are running defense right now for Corzine. And if they get away with this, stealing people's private accounts, farmers, ranchers mainly, who have accounts to then trade in commodities on the Chicago Mercantile to try to hedge their bets, not knowing if there's going to be rain, sun, or what's coming up in the growing season, the spring and summer. I mean, you know, most farmers do that. They're just keeping your money. And that's the way they roll. And you just see that the federal government is a pack of larcenous criminals. At the top, this country is full of good people. It's full of good people even in government. It's full of good people in the private sector. But at the top, the criminals have taken control. And it's a very simple equation. But sometimes simple things are hard to get. When good people don't get into the positions in business and government and religion and everything, and when good people don't fight to be in control of society, and when good people don't stand up for their own private property, their own family, when you're not territorial, the hyenas come in, the jackals come in, the wolves come in, the weevils come in, and they eat our lunch. Because evil people then fill all of those spaces. And then the evil people, something happens after that. The old-fashioned evil that's just boss hog, it gets supplanted once good stands down by even more and more reckless evil, vicious evil. Evil so dark it can't even be imagined by people that aren't given over to wickedness. And so there's a competition within the power structure where the survival of the most wicked, not survival of the fittest, but survival of the most cancerous, the most malignant, gets into the system and takes over. And then you get a hyper-tyranny. And hyper-tyrannies always grow like a tropism, the same web, the same structure. They build pyramids, and they chop hearts out, and they eat children. And you're like, boy, that sounds crazy. Have you read a history book? Every culture ends up building pyramids and throwing children into fiery pits, chopping hearts out, slitting throats, raping virgins, giant wars, black uniforms, smoke, death, murder, destruction, torture. That's what psychopaths are into, the most vicious type. And they compete with each other. And so that manifestation, that signature transmission, then manifest. So that's the domino effect. Good people stand down, evil comes in and takes over. Then evil competes with itself, and the maximum evil is then purified, the essence of evil, the primordial prime evil, is then manifest. Hell's gates are opened, giant war, famine, destruction, total loss of security then ensues. And all the trappings of that evil wavelength is now transmitting, and we see it building like nanotech in front of us. The giant armies, the pyramids, the secret arrest.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
We have a particularly important global transmission lined up for you today. And yes, every day is important, but as we get deeper into this global crisis engineered by the monopoly men that run the world government, each successive transmission will become more important than the last. Look at this massive stack of news I have here in front of me. If you were a radio listener and aren't watching at PrisonPlanet.tv, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 stacks of news. And each stack is completely insane. Let me just randomly pick this one and just mention what's in it. Climate Fund seeks UN-style diplomatic immunity. This is the environmental takeover stack. New East River Bridges toll proposal goes after everyone, including bicyclists. And I mentioned yesterday that all over the world they're bringing pedestrian tolls in. And I saw comments on InfoWars that I was a liar. And I knew my memory was right, so I simply searched the term and pulled up San Francisco Chronicle, Associated Press, and others, where in San Francisco they do toll you to walk across the bridges. But again, it's only $6. What's wrong with that? Good news, India bans its airlines from paying EU carbon tax. That'll make George Soros angry. Hose pipe hotlines to enforce drought restrictions as March heat wave continues all week. England has record amounts of water. They've never, in most cities, paid for water there because there's so much water in their aquifers, and it's some of the best water. But now they're teaching you that there isn't water and telling you that there's restrictions and telling everyone to tattle. We'll be getting into that. Again, not tattle on folks for water, not for 10 years you can buy glowing monkeys, cats, and dogs in Hong Kong shops that are part jellyfish and are in extreme pain because they have stinging cells in their own flesh. Beyond Blade Runner. But the environmentalists don't care about that. No, they want to lecture me for poking an ant pile in a video I shot and uploaded Sunday, showing people how when you stir up ants, they swarm, illustrating that if I then just give them Amdro poison, they think it's food, take it in and die. That's what the globalists do with GMO to us versus a frontal assault. They attack you. But I am now an animal cruelty person for poking at ants that are invasive from Brazil and have spread all the way to Australia and kill most of the ground foraging birds like turkeys and quail being decimated by them. They kill most of the baby wild boar, most of the baby deer. It's all on record, just the worst invasive species on Earth. On Earth, never able to get over the Andes, but brought to the Houston Ship Channel in a shipment of wood, what, in the 1940s? I said the 50s, that's incorrect. But there's literally people who are serious on my YouTube channel saying, arrest me for killing ants. Again, that's how they protect the environment, not worry about actual GMO that's destroying and wrecking the biosphere's original genetic code, genetic vandalism. Here is the San Francisco Chronicle article from 2005. It was put into place. Bay Area, $6 toll for Gate Bridge. Hikers, bicyclists may also have to pay to cross over, and they did put that into place. There's been big fights over it. They're talking about removing it. But I thought I'd mention it. Here it is. Golden Gate Bridge, bicycle and walking toll. But again, I'm a liar. That's your Agenda 21. See, this is what straw men attackers do to me every day as part of a concerted jealousy effort. A lot of it's jealousy, and I'm sad that that's the case. But a lot of it is government sock puppets. It's actually come out that we're targeted by government propaganda and national media, but also at grassroots. That's the White House strategy, and we're on the White House enemies list. they come out and say, oh, look, Alex is lying. This article is about tolls on bicycles. And what I said on last night's radio show, Sunday night show, 4 to 6, is I said, in New York, they're looking at toll roads for people on bicycles. But I said, in other areas of the world, some areas of the U.S., England, and in China, they're moving towards tolls on pedestrians. And I saw people attacking me last night saying I was a liar, just saw it without looking, and saw it as a meme. And so I thought, well, I know I've seen that over and over again, but I double-checked my knowledge, and there it was, China, England, U.S., tolls on walking. But see, a straw man would say, look, that's not in the article. It's bicycles. Don't lie to people. And I'm like, I didn't say that article was about bicycles in New York. I was saying they're also going after people walking over bridges. And see, that's like a mental illness that jealous people do. They'll say you're wrong about something just like it proves a point, like they one-up you because they prove you wrong. But they didn't really prove you wrong. They misrepresented what you said and then tear that down. And it isn't about Alex Jones being right. Let me tell you something. I can walk out on a stage and have people throw tomatoes at me and it doesn't get to me. Never happened, but I've had things, you know, that are similar to that, being attacked by a studio audience that's told to attack me, people making fun of me, a group of yuppies on their motorcycles on South Congress stopping, you know, 8 years ago and getting around me and laughing at me like it was getting to me. And I just said, if somebody's going to do something, go ahead. I'm going to stomp your butt into the ground. I mean, it's not because I'm some great person or Mr. Tough Guy either. The point is that I'm just a normal man who isn't backing down. And in the past, that was the way everybody was. We've had it engineered and chemically taken out of us. And it means nothing to me if I'm attacked. Peer pressure means nothing to me. Zero. And that's the kind of attitude that built this country. And people need to get that back. That's why I attacked the trendies. I don't care how you look or what you're into. If you like a style, I don't care what it is, that's great. Whether it's gothic or golf shirt or cowboy, whatever it is. Just actually stand for something at the end of the day as well, not just whatever outfit you got from the clothing rack, whatever genre you decided to go along with. Do you see what I'm saying? Because the essence of our enslavement is that people feel so empty and all they do is watch television, hoping that if they get into a certain niche or go with a certain look or a certain idea, or if they repeat what they saw in the sitcoms, they're going to be popular. Because all these social engineering shows show you men acting like fools and acting super stupid and getting all the women. And then men go out and do that all day and wonder why they're not getting women. And in every role you're shown on television, men are groveling to women and are idiots and let the women be the boss. And then women see that and think that's what they want. And then that's not what they want. Everything you're taught is how to socially destroy you and make you not be fulfilled. Because when you're fulfilled, you begin to not even care about yourself. See, if they can freeze you and never let you get into the hierarchy of needs. And that pyramid of the hierarchy of needs is incredibly accurate. And if they can keep you from ever getting self-sufficient or truly being independent, then they've got you. Because if they can arrest your development, you will never develop into the higher levels where you realize you're not going to live very long and that you love humanity and you're building a society and that you live forever through what you build and through those that you lift up. And through your genetic line. And the elite don't want you thinking like they think. I went to a Walmart last night because it's the only place you can buy film for a Polaroid camera here locally. Hadn't been in one in a while. And I watched as I walked around with my son, the people, and I saw women who were attractive, and I watched them. They were so insecure, moping around, feeling totally horrible. There was a salon at the front. I saw a young woman come in and it was closed and she looked totally freaked out and depressed. I could tell she had some date coming up that evening. And you know, oh my gosh, she couldn't go in there and get that certification of beauty. You know, it's all these props people need. And I watch the men all wearing skull shirts, black, white, old, young, Hispanic, all trying to act tough, all trying to act tough around their wives and girlfriends. And you can look in their eye. They were so insecure. They were so scared. They had seen all these images in culture and video games, and they didn't really feel powerful. And they were like little children. Because I guess they watch television all day, and they're not driving Lamborghinis, they're not driving the latest Ferrari, they don't have a high-maintenance 10 on their arm, and they're worried about money, and that's why the system creates fiat money that's controlled by private groups, and then artificially deflates the value of it, inflation, so that you're so obsessed with that and so insecure that you don't have time to challenge the system. I never thought I'd say it, but I saw a Justin Timberlake movie this weekend in two treadmill sessions, and it's called In Time, and I want to do a review of that because it's all about that, how they artificially control the resources. It's feudalism, so that there's a class structure. And it also gets into the elite living forever, and they have to kill 90% of the public if they're going to be able to live forever. Obviously influenced by reality. It's art imitating life, but it's a good film. I have to say that. I thought Justin Timberlake was a pretty good actor as well. But side issue, the point is that we live in an artificial environment. It's not totally artificial, but the globalist and DARPA and the scientific engineers are attempting, in their own words, to create a fully artificial habitat. I'm here to get you to wake up to this and to tell average people, stop letting them make you feel insecure. No, they just want us to go on killing one another. All they want us to do is keep on fussing and fighting. They don't want that's what this Trayvon Martin thing is all about. All they want us to do is keep on killing one another. We're going to be breaking that down. And why the media has seized upon this now. You know, I look at the videos of these Black Panthers, the new Black Panther Party, calling for the vigilante capture of Mr. Zimmerman, and they have the same clownish look as Ku Klux Klan rallies I've seen on video, except they've got dark skin. It's all part of the same divide and conquer, and you notice the federal government and the state governments are not going after them. If I got on air and said, I've got a $10,000 reward, I want 10,000 whatever color people to go grab somebody, there would be police cars pulling up here within an hour. Guaranteed. Because that is an insurrection. And a violation of due process. So you have to ask yourself, why is this going on? Why is this happening now? I'm going to talk about that later. That's one of the things in my stack. Black friend defends shooter of Florida team. We're going to be going over that. I'm not defending any of it. It sounds stupid following the guy down the street. But there are witnesses that what you're not hearing in the media is he had a broken nose. And that Trayvon Martin was seen by witnesses on top of him. That was stupid as well. So we don't really know what happened here. And we're going to be getting into that. Also, China unveils new legislation on police powers of detention, modeled after the NDAA. I've talked about this in the last 2 weeks, but it's back in the news. But how do you criticize them when that's what our criminal government, formerly Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, is doing? Also, Cheney, older, waited longer than average for heart transplant. That's how they're spinning it. Yeah, because you're not supposed to get a heart transplant when you're above about 55 on average, because they don't do well. Younger people in the bioethicist actuaries are supposed to get them, but not in the case of Dick Cheney. But I'll be honest, I'm surprised he waited that long. Somebody like Steve Jobs didn't wait very long for liver. And a lot of rich people just go to China or go to Japan. They fly it just, you know, a couple hundred miles over the ocean. They have mobile execution vans. If you're a new listener, I'm not joking. Each major city has 24 mobile execution vans. They kill you for petty crimes, you name it. And then they chop your organs out on the tarmac. Guys, Google China mobile execution vans. It'll show them, it's like a London Guardian article, probably pop up first, choking a woman, and then it shows the van and the butchering facility in the back of it, the medical table. And then they fly them while they're still warm, generally, right over the South China Sea there, right into Japan, right into those medical cities they've got there on the East Coast. China's high-tech death van, where criminals are executed and their organs are sold on black market. Yeah, scroll down. That's Daily Mail. Let's see. Oh, there's a loving execution van. Oh, just step right in here. And the execution van looks like a normal police van. Yeah, there's another one that shows them choking a woman and taking her in. By the way, they get their cues now from the United States, so that's got to make you feel proud. You're an extremist, though, if you don't like it. And I got a big police state stack. That's what, see, this is a climate fraud, global fascist takeover stack here. I got a little bit of that. Then I have the police state stack. Then I have black friend defends shooter of Florida teen. Big stack on the Trayvon Martin shooting outside Orlando there. We've got Cheney getting the heart, and then we've got Sandusky. I've got Cheney in that stack, labeled likely pedophile in 98. Yeah, there were police investigations in 95 with raped kids and nothing was done. That's NBC News. I mean, what a perv. His house backed right up to a school where he'd watch the kids. And he was so emboldened, he was raping children in the showers during the broad daylight. And of course, the local sports writers are saying it was the big rich donors coming in. Of course that's what's going on. That's what the Texas Youth Commission did. Our country is run by the most psychotic, psychopathic, demonic monsters you can imagine. Giant pedophile armies with nuclear weapons. We'll be right back.
You walk into this room at your own risk because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
You have found it, the front lines of the InfoWar. We are the tip of the spear, not just myself, not just my crew, but you, the listeners, you, the activists, you, the freedom lovers out there. I commend you. I salute you. We have Gerald Celente on a big MF Global report coming up. We'll also get into other global trends and take your calls. Webster Griffin Tarpley, who's been to Syria, who's been to Uganda, who has been to all of these places, who's been to Libya recently. He's going to be here breaking down geopolitically what's happening, also the economy, and open phones for Webster Griffin Tarpley as well today. Let me get into some news on the authoritarian angle first, and then I'm going to get into Harvard scientists reverse the aging process in mice, now for humans. They've had this very type of technology for at least 20 years. When I was first on air 17 years ago, this was well established in different scientific journals. They're just now advertising it. And it's already on the market for many elites. But under bioethics, you will not have access to it. Unless we take our society back, but to do that, you'll have to control your own destiny and control the type of news you're into and not just let them tell you what you're going to be watching, like football. Again, I get going over to a friend's house and grilling cheeseburgers or steaks and drinking beer and watching a football game. I get it. But when there is a scientific dictatorship with thousands of public documents, we've linked to some new ones today from the Rockefeller Foundation about putting sterilants and cancer viruses in the vaccines, and then I've watched my family members and friends shrivel up dying from cancer, and I watch young people getting cancer all over the place and the cancer numbers exploding. You know, I can't sit there and watch a football game anymore. Cannot do it. Occasionally I get roped into going to one. Parents invite me over for a barbecue. I want my children to be around their parents, their grandparents. And so I'll go outside and shoot a YouTube video and upload it. I will not watch it. I will not. I can't. Now, occasionally I'll watch a comedy because all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Something like Horrible Bosses or something was the last comedy I watched. And it is funny. It's also not for children to watch. Jennifer Aniston's very lovely as a brunette. But the point is that I can't do it anymore. And you can go, man, that guy's a weirdo. He's obsessed with legislation. You know, so many times I'll be out to eat with business people, prominent people that invite me out to dinner. And even if they know about my show and invited me out because they have seen or heard the show, they still say, but isn't it kind of weird being into this? You know, shouldn't you not be so obsessed with this? And I'm like, how do I not be obsessed with knowing they're poisoning the food and water by design to sterilize me and to hurt my children and to hurt your children? I mean, I would have to be a lunatic to not be obsessed with this. And people are like, oh, it isn't that bad, Alex. No, it's that bad and then some, okay? Don't you get it? It's real. Don't you get it? It's all hiding in plain view. They think you're so stupid. It was on record that $2 billion, right at $2 billion, was transferred of private people's accounts to J.P. Morgan in London. That came out in Forbes, the Associated Press, the day after it happened. And it was just a minor footnote that they'd been transferred. And then a few weeks later, people couldn't get their money. It was like, oh, we'll look into it. And I'm like, look into it. It's right here. Corzine ordered it. It's on record. Then Corzine goes up and says, I know nothing about it, even though he was the CEO. And the head of the CME group comes out. It was the regulator, the private regulator over it, and says, no, he ordered it. I was in the phone calls. You don't move $2 billion without it being regulated. And the federal regulators, all in the three major groups, all the Securities and Exchange Commission, all of it, were formerly working under him at Goldman Sachs. He was the head of Goldman Sachs. And now it's been confirmed that J.P. Morgan said, we don't care if it's your private customers' money. You'll give it to us. It was Max Kaiser first reported that. Kaiser, who has the sources in Europe, you know, he used to work with George Soros' son, not that he's involved in this. He says the head of J.P. Morgan called him up and said, you're dead. Kaiser isn't just going to say this. He's over there under French libel laws, where you basically have no First Amendment. He's not going to say that if he wasn't told that. He said, you're dead if you don't transfer that money. And the issue here is, we've now gotten to the point in this country, in this world, where the entire corporate whore media knows it's a lie, knows he... I mean, 3 months ago, Terrence Duffy testified before Congress and said, I'm not going to lie. He was there. He ordered him to do it. He's not going to lie under oath for Corzine, and the media still acts like that perjury wasn't committed. Now the emails and his orders are public, and no one gets in trouble. And here's the issue. The banksters have stolen We haven't gotten a new number in 2 years. We're 4 years into the banker bailout, which is really just signing us over to the banks, signing on to their too big to fail. That's how they enslave us, signing us on to their derivatives they created as a ball and chain to tie to us. Media covers that up, acts like they're the experts, when they're the authors of this. This is the type of information we're talking about. And it makes my head spin. And now he's caught in absolute triplicate. It's like walking out of the bank with your handgun holstered with two bags in your hand with big money symbols on it, loading it into the back of a van. And the cops pull up and walk by with a cup of coffee and go, "Hey, what you doing?" "Oh, I'm just loading some money up. I got a mask on." The cops say, "I don't see anything. Have a good day." Now, if cops did that, you'd know they were on the take of the bank robber. And that's exactly all this is. And the media tried to spin it. Well, you shouldn't have been investing in the mercantile exchanges. Tried to con the public, knowing most people aren't in commodities and futures trading, you know, to act like it was the stock market or something. These were their accounts. Like when you go to a casino and you go put $1,000 on the casino card you're going to go use on slot machines or whatever. That's your money on that card. People put their money into the account to make bets. And then their account is up or down. And people like Gerald Celente had been trading in that account for 20 plus years. And he was way up. And he had taken delivery, ordered delivery months before. He'd won a bunch of money, making good bets on gold. And they said, "You know what? You're not getting it, Jack." And they adjusted his statement. Even though he had the statements where he had over $100,000, that's all he'll say, in profit. And they just said, "You're not getting it, Jack." Now, do any of you feel safe when we've got reckless bankers? I mean, Corzine, like Madoff. Madoff created the NASDAQ. Doesn't get much bigger than that. What's bigger? People like Corzine. They're actual mega managers, former head of Goldman Sachs. Above that is owners, Rockefeller, Rothschilds, people like that. The banks got $27 trillion 2 years into this. We don't know new numbers since then of U.S. taxpayer money that they leveraged out to infinity again. There's more derivatives now than there was 4 years ago. And they've got us signed on to those. And do any of you feel safe? Do any of you feel good knowing that they could have easily just guaranteed at the CME Group, as they'd promised previously, all of the commodities exchanges going on through the mercantile, as they've done in the past? This has happened before, some things similar. No, this time they didn't. And what does that tell you? They know that they don't want to set a precedent that when all of this derivatives paper goes bad, it's already bad, but when the dominoes start moving even quicker, they do not want the precedent that they're going to pay you your money that's in these accounts. But it's worse than that. They're going to take your pension funds. They've already done this in Europe. They're going to take your private bank accounts. They're going to take your 401ks. They're going to take your commodity futures trading accounts, your bank accounts. That's what this is. This is all a big test to see if they can do that. And right now, Corzine is just out in the open with hundreds of articles. I typed his name in this morning. It was actually thousands. You put it into this Google NSA search engine, click news, it was thousands. You'll have the top five or six articles and it'll say the number under it. In fact, do that for folks. Type in John Corzine, Google News, and click it. Well, I say hundreds. See, people accuse me of exaggerating. No, it's actually the opposite. I tend to know it was in the thousands this morning when I looked at it, and so I just say hundreds, and I've got to stop doing that. Blow it up. Okay, scroll up, and it depends on the algorithm each time you search. Scroll down.
It's hard to see, but it says 1,050 above.
It says 1,050 results. In the last 7 seconds, or 0.7, go ahead and scroll down. And of top news, it's 69. And then you go back down, it's 357. You go back down. Yeah, it's weird. Each time it's different. Like, do it again, and then it'll show you a totally different number. Point is, it's thousands of articles. There you go. Because I get these idiot, you know, comments. Alex, you didn't hundreds of articles. You're right. I lied to you. I tend to hold back. In fact, the only way I am dishonest is that I don't go all the way. It's not that I'm exaggerating. It's the opposite of it. As I keep trying to tell you, my mind automatically gauges it back because it sounds ridiculous. Because I wasn't lying just now on purpose. I'm trying to have total transparency here. It's that my mind, if I say I saw thousands of articles this morning, most people don't know how search engines work. They're not going to believe that. So I just showed people watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. That in the last 2 days, over 1,000 articles. This morning was like 1,600 and something's what it. In fact, show them again. Do the search again because it's weird. The algorithm varies sometimes, hour to hour. In fact, this morning when I did it, it says 1,060 now. Here, scroll down. Yeah, it was 1,600 something this morning. Scroll down and show them. Yeah, there it is. 1,060. Whatever. The point is, I'm trying to teach people and show people just how serious all this is, because this is a major bellwether, and that's why we're going to spend a lot of time on it with Gerald Celente, who's only about 15 minutes away. I got to talk about this and dovetail it with this other article over here. This is a police state news. Obama's disbelief after staring into North Korea. Now, here's a guy who went to school and was an open communist, funded, of course, by the Rockefeller and Rothschild Foundations, Ford Foundation, all of it on record, living with the Weatherman bombers. I mean, this is our president. But again, that's just the banker's front. Of course, they want all revolution to be communist because the big mega banks sit offshore. They want to destroy free market for the general public. Here's a guy shutting down our power plants. Here's a guy shutting down our pipelines. Here's a guy with taxes he knows putting us into a cardiac arrest. And he goes and looks over the DMZ. And I made the joke yesterday before these comments were out that he was coming home, because there's only one place in the world up until just last week that allows the secret arrest and disappearance of people, and that was North Korea. Now the United States has signed into law similar stuff that is still completely illegal. You can sign a law saying you can rape kids on the White House lawn. Doesn't mean it's true. I got a right to resist that. That's illegal. Hitler can pass laws all day, you know, doing bad things. I say it's baloney. There's a universal right to resist tyranny, as the founders stated and as common sense shows. But now China unveils new legislation on police powers. They did pass it, of detention. Experts warn that official draft legislation would have legalized disappearance, allowing police to hold suspects without informing families. The legislation's passed through one group of Communist Party officials. Now it's going to the other group. So it's not 100% done. And it's modeled, and they're defending it off of the NDAA. Go read it for yourself, London Guardian. Now, that said, Obama, who demanded this power, that is, at North Korea level, that China is now imitating. We're now the example of evil. That is the criminal bankers that have taken over our country and that are openly trying to break our will, like lawyers, to set this precedent. I mean, you know, they got federal grants to take blood at checkpoints without warrants. First, they used fake rubber stamp general warrants that weren't real. A kangaroo warrant. Now they just don't even have them. Now they've got medicalized police units to train the other police in forced inoculation. I told you that years ago. Now they're announcing that. You see how they're getting this ready? If I walked up to a cop and punched him in the nose, the average cop would savagely attack me right back. But if I was the Rockefeller Foundation and I'm trying to force the cops to take shots and make them take the public filled with cancer viruses and sterilants, the cops do it. Because it's authority doing it to them. See? You're under attack. We're all under attack. None of us are on the winning globalist team. Even if you're immoral and think you're part of the system, you're under attack. And a lot of you won't listen. But when you get diagnosed with cancer at 35, when your child dies of cancer, and you finally go look at the statistics and find that pediatric cancer is over 10,000 percentage points up the last 50 years, the average cancer is 2,000% for adults, then you're going to, look, I want to save you now. I care about you. And I want us to all come in together for the big win against the globalists. I'm not risking my life for nothing. I know we can win. We can turn this back. But we've got to admit the horror. It's beyond what I can tell you. Words do not describe it. I'm begging you, look into what I'm saying. Look at this. Obama, it says, After squinting through binoculars into the nation frozen in time, U.S. President Barack Obama reeled off a contempt-laden, startlingly frank indictment of North Korea. Well, wait a minute. He said he wants a post-industrial world. Maurice Strong and the U.N. want that. That's what carbon taxes are. They want a North Korean existence for us. That's actually their model. Well, they live in high-tech palaces. The Stalinist remnant of the Cold War was, in Obama's eyes, nothing but a nation which cannot make anything of any use, doesn't work, and even is vaunted weapon exports hardly state-of-the-art. This is Obama. It's like you're in a time warp, Obama said Sunday after he toured a rocky border post in the demilitarized buffer zone that has split North Korean peninsula for more time than he's been alive. It is like you're looking across 50 years into a country that has missed 40 years or 50 years of progress. Progress like your socialist health care, that they're getting everybody ready for the conservative appointees to sign off on because the big banks are the ones that wrote the health care. I saw some of the neocons halfway praising the army sergeant who they now admit shot at least 18 people, small children, as part of a reprisal for a roadside bomb. I saw some praise of that. Well, here's the aftermath. British soldier shot dead by rogue Afghan army officer. Two British soldiers have been shot dead by an Afghan army officer after an argument at a British headquarters in Helmand Province, and you're going to see more of that. The troops are there, of course, on record to grow the opium and get it shipped back into Europe and the United States on record. They had a problem, of course, 3 years ago with the troops speaking out about being ordered to grow opium, so they just put it on the news and said, that's patriotism. In Tunisia, Islamists step up demand for Islamic State. Same thing has now happened in Egypt. And again, I'm not a Islam basher, but the version of Islam being manipulated by Saudi Arabia and others. And I'm not getting into Shiite-Sunni fights. I'm a Christian. The globalists are putting radical Muslims in everywhere while telling me, give up my rights because the radical Muslims are going to kill me any minute. Then I'm watching as they put Al-Qaeda in charge and then Al-Qaeda-lite Muslim Brotherhood. Everywhere. We have Syrian Girl on the nightly news tonight covering that. And then I'm going to premiere the Billy Corrigan interview that is really powerful and will be a newsmaker. He goes after Al Gore, the carbon taxes, everything. It's very powerful, very smart guy. Billy Corrigan of Smashing Pumpkins was with us a week and a half ago in studio. We took our time putting it all together. So that'll be out tonight after about 30 minutes of news and an interview. So probably about 8 o'clock tonight, we'll start streaming that out to the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. By the way, it's 15 cents a day. And you get to see the radio show streamed with video, so that added dimension, an added audio, video, podcast, commercial free. All of my films, it'll be 9 years in April, 9 years, April 6th or 7th, I forget, is when we launched PrisonPlanet.tv 9 years ago. A lot of specials, a new film up there, the New World Order Blueprint of Mad Men. Gerald Celente is coming up. Also, live extension technology on record. All of you that attack me for Endgame, checking the Elite, we're going to develop live extension. They already had it. And that's why they think they're gods. They like to compare themselves to Prometheus. Prometheus actually tried to build up humanity. You guys are more like the Norse god Loki, playing games with humanity. But you want to liken yourself to gods, how about the devil? But if you see that as a god, some of you do, I know. If you don't think the devil's a bad guy, he's Lucifer to you guys. Point is, you guys have a pretty bad track record of wrecking stuff. I do stand against you. Your work stinks, literally, and is very ugly. I know that's beautiful to you. Speaking to the globalist right now, it's kind of like in The Godfather when he says, I'm going to talk now to him in Italian, you know, when they're there in the restaurant. I'm going to talk to the New World Order and Imperial Illuminati. Now, as we go to break here and come back with Gerald Celente, I want to get him on right at the start of the next hour. I want to also add that I'm very excited people are checking out the specs at Infowars.com in the online video apparel slash preparedness section of the shopping carts. We have two different ones for you to choose from, our newer one and then the Yahoo Classic system, because people are looking at the specs of the ProPure gravity filtration stainless steel systems, and they blow the competition completely out of the water. And it is so important to filter your water and not trust the globalists. They got the top of the line shower filters as well. Stainless steel units. They've got portable ones. They got big ones. Perfect for restaurants. Perfect for everywhere. Perfect for your home. Perfect for your camp. Infowars.com to get the ProPure system. And we have a discount running. When you put water in as a code on the site, all the ProPure products are 10% off. So we already have it at the lowest prices anywhere at Infowars.com. I'm even pressuring the manufacturer to give us even better deals right now. I'm giving everybody only at Infowars.com 10% off all the ProPure, or you can call 888-253-3139.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Hi, folks. This is Alex Jones. I'm looking for people that have the wisdom to spot savings, opportunity, and recognize risk. Saving means to make money. The Cowbin Pure Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated and twice as good as what you're using now. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils that contain no useless dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Your risk is the hundreds of hazardous toxic detergents that give you rashes, itching sores, and deteriorating clothing called lint. If you want something better, if you want something you've never had before, you have to do something you've never done before. Getting a free catalog is easy by calling 800-340-7091 or see Calvin on the web at 5starsoap.com. Take charge of your health now by calling 800-340-7091 or see Calvin on the web at 5starsoap.com.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now into hour number two. We have the one, the only, Gerald Celente coming up here in just a few minutes. We've got Webster Griffin Tarpley, who's been all over the world tracking the globalist proxy wars, what's happening to the economy. He hadn't been on the radio with us in a while. He's going to be joining us. Also, Harvard scientists reversed the aging process in mice, now for humans. London Guardian, I told you about this 17 years ago. People didn't believe it. It's in my film Endgame. We're going to be covering that coming up later. In fact, I'm going to get Gerald's take on it. Also, tungsten-filled 1 kilo bars, gold bars found in the UK. It's confirmed. And the reports are most of the gold in the Federal Reserve has already been secretly taken out. And it's tungsten. I have that from good high-level sources off record. This is the second time it's been confirmed. This is a big deal. This is a big, big, big deal. Also, I haven't got into the situation yet with George Zimmerman and the tragic shooting of Trayvon Martin. But there's been big developments in that case, and I'm going to cover that a little bit with Gerald as well, get his take on it, how the system's race baiting and really trying to divide people. So we're going to be breaking that down as well. Also, I mentioned some of this yesterday, but there's been some big new developments on the front. They're trying to give diplomatic immunity to all the globalist scammers with their global carbon tax plan developed by Ken Lay and Al Gore. They're trying to now give their operations worldwide because UN groups are slaughtering people in Uganda and not just Africa, areas of Central and South America has come out, Honduras, I mean, actually shooting people. And so they want diplomatic immunity for these new global stock market systems that'll be the new global tax. So all of that is going on. We'd already have Gerald up, but we're having a Skype issue. Is he ready? All right, we're getting close. It's fine. We'll just get to him in the next segment. If not, we'll go telephone. So we have all of that going on. We also have astronauts scramble for escape pod as space junk threat gets serious. Look, it'd be fun to attack Santorum, who talks a good game about Christianity and anti-abortion, but his voting record's big government. He started cussing at a reporter, which I'm not saying is good, but it makes you think he might actually be a real person that he's not totally controlled. But we may get to that a little bit later. Also, China unveils new legislation on police powers of detention modeled after the NDAA. Police detain protesters in Moscow, St. Petersburg. AP decries it. But our own government does that, too. I think Russia's wrong doing it, but our government's doing it more and more. Egypt's Islamist groups consolidate power. Mention that. There it is, Financial Times of London. Egypt liberals quit Islamist-led constitution body. Dovetails with Tunisian Islamist setup. Demand for Islamic State. Media runs defense for Corazon after MF Global revelation. That's Paul Watson's article. Very, very, very important. And we've got a consolidation of articles. For the record, Rockefeller soft-kill depopulation plans exposed. I always mispronounce this great writer's name, but it's Jurion Mason. I want to get this person on. He's been writing for us like 5 years, doing a great job, 4 or 5 years, as a guest sometime. He's doing great work. But we need an article to that writer where you just get all the soft-kill admissions of the UN putting sterilants in vaccines and all the different people calling for sterilants in the water and food and Prozac in the water and lithium in the water and all the admissions and the calls. See, I like overload articles where it's just, it's not just some Rockefeller documents, you know, not 10 or 15. That's not enough. I want, this is what I've been asking Watson to do and Kurt, I want articles where you've got them say, kill people anytime the government wants, eugenicists, even healthy people. Kill babies up to age 3. Poison babies. Chemical lobotomies to the general public so we're not angry. Drugs so we won't be racist, so lobotomize people so you can't think. All of this. I mean, because we do these articles, people are blown away by them. It's not hardcore enough. Just like I'm not hardcore enough. People think we're being too hardcore. It's the opposite. We're not going far enough. We're not giving you the full magnitude. It's 50 times worse, okay? And it's going to get 100 times worse if we don't fight back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
You remember back in October of last year, we learned that several billion dollars of private sequestered accounts with people that were trading in future commodities in the Chicago Mercantile Exchange had disappeared. And then we were told that hundreds of millions would not be paid back. Then we were told a billion, then a billion three, then a billion six. And the media still plays games and says now it's only 200 million missing. Numbers I've got is it's more like 600 million. They then went in and just altered people's statements, even though they had statements of their money that they had in their accounts. You have to put money in to trade, then you also win money if you're successful. That's how these markets work. And Gerald Celente, who'd been doing this for, what was it, close to 30 years, an expert in it, and it was his money. It just disappeared. And people that were ignorant spun it and said, no, it was like the stock market and it just went down. No, it's like you go to a casino and they have cards now at casinos. Because I was shooting interviews with Jesse Ventura a few months ago and I hadn't been to Vegas in years. And I was watching people. You go put money on a card and then that's what you use in the slot machines and buy drinks with and stuff. It'd be the same thing. It'd be like if you put $1,000 on your card, that's your money, and then you went to use it and they said no money on it. That's a theft, plain and simple. Okay? Now, all of that took place, and it came out in Reuters, it came out in Forbes, that $1.6 billion was sent to London to J.P. Morgan. Max Keiser, with his connections in London, confirmed, journalist Max Keiser, that indeed it went to J.P. Morgan. It was known. Zero Hedge reported it. Infowars.com reported it. We all knew what happened. This went on for months, and then Gerald Celente, on his over 100,000, that's all he'll say, he gets a corrected statement. His other statement said he had all this money. Now, hey, it's gone, pal. We corrected your statement. Now, they could have easily just paid back this money. The Federal Reserve bails stuff out with our tax money all the time. They didn't. And the big question is why? And I'm going to ask Gerald that here in a moment. I think they're setting the precedent when they know when all the derivatives go completely belly up, to just take everybody's bank accounts, stock portfolios, 401ks. It's already happening in Europe. Government says, we're taking your 401k to protect it, but we're putting a 20% tax on it this year. And you're lucky you're getting some of it. And then the next year they take another 20%. That's what's happening. We're being taught to be gang raped right now, basically. Now, here's Paul Watson's article. Media runs defense for Core Zion after MF Global Revelation. He lied and said he didn't know where it was. When it's on record, he's the CEO and ordered it. Then Terrence Duffy. This all happened in December. We're talking 3-4 months ago now. December 14th, part of the testimony we're about to play, and then go to Gerald. But I want to put this on record. We have all of this going on. The head of the CME, to his credit, we'd attacked him for making fun of Gerald Celente and others and saying these are conspiracy terrorists. You know, the money's not missing. Well, a few months later, he had to come out and say, no, it looks like they took it. And by the way, I'm not going to lie for Corzine. And you know, he was in the meetings and he gave the order. So that happened. Now, the corporate prostitute media, as Gerald has coined it properly, then played along the last few months and said it was no big deal. Now he's been caught perjuring himself 100%. The memos are public. The lawsuits have been filed. It's all coming out. All the major federal regulators formerly worked for him when he was at Goldman Sachs, the head of the commodities trading group, all of it. That's why he hasn't gotten in trouble. So if they get away with this, the sky is the limit. Nobody's money is safe. Now, I want to play a short clip of Congress where they're talking to members of MF Global, and they're saying, we don't know where the money went. And then they go to Corzine, who obviously is lying. You know, my son doesn't lie a lot, but sometimes he does literally climb up and steal cookies that are meant to go in their lunch throughout the week. And he snuck in and got cookies this week, and he said, I didn't get the cookies. And I looked at him, I said, I know you're lying. He goes, I got the cookies. I mean, it's that obvious. But this isn't cookies. This is farmers and ranchers money mainly. That's what they really stole here from the CME group. Only part of it was gold. Here is that clip in Congress, December 14th, almost, well, I guess it is, more than 4 months ago. Here it is. And we'll go ahead and fade that up. Let's stop right there because I'm not getting fed this audio. Let's go ahead and start the clip over again for everybody. Go ahead and play it.
Where is the money from funds that were supposed to be kept separate? Customer money. Mr. Steenkamp is CFO. Where's the money?
Senator, unfortunately, I do not know where the money is.
Well, who does?
I never directed anyone at MF Global to misuse customer funds.
Let's go to Gerald Celente of the Trends Research Institute. In fact, right here I've got some of the latest Trends journals here in my hot little hands. Gerald, great to have you here. Thank you for joining us. What is your latest breakdown of what's happened as a victim of these hoodlums?
Well, it's another cover-up. If this was you or me or anybody out there listening, you know, they'd have us on Rikers Island by now, like they did with that Dominique Strauss-Kahn character from the former head of the World Bank when he was allegedly raped a hotel staff person, a maid. And Corzine just gets a free ride. I mean, let's go through this. This is what, November, December, January, February, what, 5 months later? And this guy still doesn't know what they did with the money. And now, of course, it's all coming out. And again, everyone that I spoke with, I know people in the business, everybody laughed at his testimony. And when you read now what the memos are saying, and Paul Watson did a great job on it, how the prostitutes are covering it up and say things like, well, you know, there's no criminal charges here. And they're all running cover for him. You read what's going on here. The head of J.P. Morgan, the division, the chief risk officer, he called Corzine to receive assurances about the source of the money. The firm followed up with a draft letter from Mrs. O'Brien. That was the person within MF Global that transferred the money, to sign a statement stating that all past, present, and future transactions complied with federal regulations according to the memo. But Lori Ferber, the firm's general counsel, hey, I wonder if she was the same general counsel that guy Louis Free wants to give a bonus to for staying with this and straightening it all out. But anyway, she may be another general counsel, thought the letter was too broad. She wanted to limit its scope to transfers made on October 28th, the memo said. To make a long story short, they never signed the memo. And to make a long story very short, this thing's going back and forth and back and forth. Corzine's demanding that the money be sent over there. JPMorgan Chase knows it's a deal. They won't cover it, and they can't get a sign-off on it. And all of a sudden, $200 million is gone on this one deal. And now, you know what they say? Here is where the prostitutes really suck up. You know what they're saying? It was attributed to sloppy bookkeeping. Sloppy bookkeeping. How can they make this stuff up? No, it's all a cover-up. And you said it. This whole thing is crashing down. That's why they have the National Defense Authorization Act. That's why Obama signed that executive order a few weeks ago. That's why Holder, our esteemed attorney general, just put through another law that allows the government now to watch every move we make, everything we do without a warrant. Without a warrant. Every bit of our private lives are now government data. And they could do what they want with it. And you know why? Because they know the whole thing is collapsing. And they know the natives are restless. They're restless in Spain. They're restless in Greece. They're restless in Romania. They're restless in the UK and Portugal. They're restless in Greece. They're restless in Ireland. And they're restless in the USA. And this thing is collapsing, and you said it. The money's not there. The gold is not there. And that guy Duffy that you mentioned, the head of the CME group that was making fun of people like me calling us conspiracy theorists, how come nobody's holding his feet to the fire? How come nobody's replaying that videotape that I put out there over and over again with the 47,000 people in the media showing Big Mouth Duffy blowing out a lot of hot air about how the CME group, this is the exchange where all the commodities run through out in Chicagoland, where he's saying they have $100 billion in collateral to back such kind of incidents as the one we later saw with MF Global. Where's the $100 billion when they can't cover $1.6 billion? The whole game is rigged. It's a criminal operation from credit default swaps, auction rate securities, collateralized debt obligations, synthetic collateralized debt obligations, and how about an FU obligation?
Well said, and we do have that clip. We also have Duffy, and again, he's obviously a scallywag as well, but to his credit, blind hogs do find acorns, broken clocks are right twice a day. He did come out and say that Corzine did give the order to transfer the money and you know, was the first to finally back off. So my point is, he did attack you, and the CME did attack you by name, but now they've been forced to back off and have admitted that you were right. So I'm wondering where this goes. I also want to look at this tungsten steel being found inside gold bars for the second time now out of Switzerland. This is big news. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, here's one of those Terrence Duffy clips. There's a whole bunch of them where he's come out and said that, no, it was ordered by Corzine. Corzine, quote, knew as the CEO that they were ordering these sequestered accounts to be wired out of the country. Well, now the memos are out. It's confirmed he gave the order. No kidding. The former head of Goldman Sachs runs his own brokerage firm, MF Global, Rob's accounts, and he didn't know. And then the government, for the last 6 months, didn't know where the money went. When they know when you wire $1,000. I mean, this is outrageous. Let's go to a short piece of that clip, and then back to Gerald Celente of TrendsResearch.com. Here it is.
CFTC and CME staff and auditors returned to the firm on Sunday, October 30th, and were informed by MF Global employees that this discrepancy was caused by, quote, an accounting error. Our auditors worked with the CFTC, devoted the rest of the day and night Sunday to find the so-called accounting error. No such error was ever found. Instead, at about 2 a.m. Monday morning, October 31st, MF Global informed both the CFTC and CME at approximately the same time that the shortfall was real and that customer segregated funds had been transferred out of segregation to the firm's broker-dealer accounts. After receiving this information, CME remained at MF Global while MF Global attempted to identify funds that could be transferred into segregation to reduce or eliminate the discrepancy. A CME auditor also participated in a phone call with senior MF Global employees, wherein one employee indicated that Mr. Corzine knew about the loans that had been made for the customer segregated from the customer segregated accounts. CME Group has provided this information names of these individuals to the Department of Justice and the CFTC, who are investigating these matters.
All right, there you go. That's just part of the clip. Gerald, this is hiding in plain view. Why isn't he in jail right now?
Because he's a member of the White Shoe Boys Club. That's why. You know the word justice, J-U-S-T-U-S, just us. Have you seen a head roll from the Goldman Sachs gang? They get fined $550 million, and they don't have to admit nor deny that they screwed anybody. Have you seen anybody's head roll from Countrywide? Oh, you remember that one, that phony mortgage company over there that was raping us in front of everybody in the White House and in Congress? Have you seen one head roll from any of these major banks that committed the greatest financial fraud in the history of the universe? Hey, if you live in Wisconsin, I just read that if you make home-brewed beer, you have to keep it in your house, and you can't bring it to a friend's house to drink because it's against the law. And those little kids out there selling lemonade, get them off the street. First it's lemonade, and then it's heroin. I know, it's a heroin, lemonade. Yeah, it's all connected. Alex, it's fascism 2.0, the merger of state and corporate powers. What is it going to take people to see what's going on? Our new Trends Journal is coming out. The cover of the Trends Journal will be out in a few weeks, is going to read, "Next Train to Auschwitz, All Aboard." No need to worry about those calories. Kiss them goodbye.
Incredible, Gerald. We're going to go to break, and a long segment's coming up. I want to get into a host of issues. But when you speak about fascism, I've looked at the numbers. I've had countless economists on, trends forecasters like yourself. It's clear there's no way to get out of this unless the banksters all go to jail, unless we write off all their fraudulent derivatives. Instead, they're clearly establishing a high-tech police state to use the crisis to take over our lives. We're going into a hot tyranny. This is not just going to be good old boy corruption.
No, you're right. It's happened. Again, how many laws have to be passed before people realize there's no constitution left? And that's why the Trends Journal is going to be Next Train to Auschwitz.
Well, it seems that there's nothing that these banksters can't or won't do. And I want to discuss solutions to this and how you think we'll get out of it. I also want to bring up some news items to you that tie into all of this. On the other side, Gerald Celente is our guest.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I want to be clear from reading declassified British and U.S. psychological warfare manuals, Soviet psychological warfare manuals, Nazi psychological warfare manuals, Edward Bernays, who advised the Department of War and then Department of Defense, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, probably more important even than Sigmund Freud. They all write books that I've read and quoted here on air. You can go read this about habitualization. Habitualization. It's just like cigarettes. They say it's not even so much the nicotine. That's part of it. It's the doing something with your hands, wanting to smoke the cigarette, getting you in the habit. They get you in the habit of the TSA sticking their hands down your pants. People say, I used to hate it, but now I'm just used to it. Well, now they're getting you used to taking your bank account. And all over the country, from San Francisco to New York, they're announcing tolls to ride bicycles and to walk. They're announcing all over the country that the police want to inspect gardens because you might be growing drugs. All over the country, they're setting up federally mandated checkpoints that are totally illegal, not just Fourth Amendment, but Tenth Amendment. What are the feds doing that for? It's not their jurisdiction. So the system is racing to habitualize us or condition us or acclimate us, use whatever word you want, to get us accustomed to this. I went to Walmart last night because I hadn't been to one in years. And they had film for a Polaroid-style camera so my grandmother can take pictures. She doesn't know how to run computerized, you know, cameras. And all the other, there's a few little shops, I guess they weren't carrying it. So I went in there, and almost all the checkouts are now self-serve. And I noticed it took them longer than even longer lines with a human. So again, it's all about control. And this system is racing into place. And we as a society are in deep trouble. Going back to Gerald Celente of TrendsResearch.com, who was robbed by MF Global, we see them racing. We see Communist China saying, we can now secretly arrest and disappear people because America does it. So now the Communist Chinese leadership that perches on top of the hardworking, smart Chinese people as parasites, they're now using America as their pretext to fully do things they wouldn't have dared do before. I mean, I don't think people realize, as you're saying, just how evil and what an abomination our country's become, Gerald.
Again, it's in front of everybody, but the prostitutes don't report it. They barely reported on the NDAA that was signed on New Year's Eve. They barely reported on Obama's signing that last executive order that also, what does it allow him to take over with a potential threat? A potential threat. They could take over corporations, farms, enslave us. I mean, I read it on Prison Planet. You have it all outlined there. A potential. When's potential? Well, potential is potentially forever. They didn't write. They wrote some little column about the latest one that a big bro out there, Eric Holder, you know, relationship to Big Brother, that he just signed off on, that now they could collect all the information they want about any of us, Google, emails, telephone conversations, and you don't even have to be a threat. They're doing this all under the guise of the war on terror. No. It's not the war on terror. It's that they're terrorized. They may be incompetent. They may act like psychopaths and are arrogant, but and they may appear stupid. but they're not stupid enough not to be able to read the graffiti on the walls. And it's very clear. You know my saying, when people lose everything and have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And they're putting these draconian measures and this police state in place because they know there's going to be a lot of mass protests, very large protests throughout Europe, throughout the United States, throughout Russia. The systems are collapsing, and they're putting everything in place to clamp down on the people. And I keep asking the question, what is it going to take before the people realize that those great red, white, and blue coaches are nothing more than an express train to Auschwitz?
Well said. What do you make of open announcements that they're going to tax you to walk down the street?
Again, they're going to keep clamping down on us at every level they can until you truly have Orwell's 1984 come alive in 2012. And you said it, Alex. They make it okay to feel you up at the airport. They make it okay to stop you. And that's what happens to the proles. The proles will be fine with paying a little bit here or there, being that big brother is watching over them and taking care of them. Orwell would be shocked if he saw what was happening, far greater than he could have ever imagined. The control freaks are in control. The systems are breaking down. And how? How could any dignified person, how could any person with that much self-respect look up to a Santorum, to a Romney, to an Obama? We're months away from the 2012 election, and imbeciles, people with the cojones the size of moths, are going to go to the ballot box and say, I voted for a lesser of two evils. How about you voted for the greater of two cons? So that's what we're looking at. The people are signing their own death warrant when they go to vote for the two criminal parties.
Let me raise this point. You know, I'm a big supporter of Ron Paul. He's 76 years old, running a really hard campaign on the ground. But even Paul's admitted, and the New York Times has admitted, that there's been election fraud. They stole the early states from him. And I know that legislation was introduced to begin the impeachment process against Obama if he launches more wars without congressional approval. What about the last one in Libya? Well, how about we go directly to impeachment? Ron Paul, that'd be a great campaign move as well. How about, instead of Ron Paul, I know the specials will get to him, fighting with the other little Republican twits, how about Ron Paul starts impeachment against Obama? How about that?
It's not going to go anywhere. I mean, you know, it's like having somebody in the Third Reich, you know, screaming and yelling. You know, Hitler's not doing it right. I mean, it's been fascism. It's taken over. You post them on your website all the time. How many is it going to take to add up before people could see it?
Well, I think you hit the core of it, though.
The only way I see this ending is to end these two criminal operations called the Republicans and the Democrats. My campaign for 2012, I want to see a voter's strike if the only choice we have is Romney or Ron Paul from these two major parties. And I believe that if 40% or less of us go out to vote, we could call this an illegitimate election, because it's really clear, folks, we don't want any of you two jerks. You barely got 25% of the vote or 30% of the vote, whoever the winner is. We need to change the system. The system's corrupt from top to bottom. Nancy Pelosi's worth $200 million. You think she got that because she's so smart? How much is it going to take people before they understand that every aspect of their life is being destroyed by a gang of 535, that's what Congress is, that is taking over for them. A bunch of megalomaniacs, psychopaths, sociopaths, arrogant, stupid people making decisions for them that are going to affect the rest of their lives. When are they going to stand up and understand that Washington is not a world away? No, 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 no. Read Big Bro Holder's latest proclamation. They're in your email. They're in your bedroom. They're on Google. They're listening to you on the telephone. How much more is it going to take?
Well, I agree with you, Gerald. It is so over the top that it is completely illegal to listen to someone without a warrant. And they have the CIA director out saying, hey, we listen to everything, and we're getting companies to put little tracker chips and listening devices in all your devices. We're listening to you over the phone, the computer. Google, for now at least 6 years, admits they're watching and listening to people over the built-in microphones and cameras. It's totally illegal, and it's in our face now. It's just off the charts. It is so overwhelming what they're doing.
It's no longer illegal. Those are words. They made it legal. The Constitution no longer exists. In the latest declarations by the Attorney General and El Presidente, Los Estados Unidos, they can do anything they want. They've granted themselves full power. I mean, again, potential threats mean that they exist forever. So again, when I look at what's going on, Alex, I'm a writer. I could, in my wildest dreams, I could not have come up with a more lame script than the presidential reality show.
It's off the charts. It's like a Kurt Vonnegut dark satire of the most ridiculous system. But we have parallels. We have this big power grab. They're openly stealing bank accounts. But then we still have a lot of basic freedoms. People are starting to wake up. So my point is, Gerald, we have to call it for what it is. And I think the heart of it is the prostitutes will not report on it and make it a big issue. And they use distractions like the Trayvon Martin situation, which is tragic. And I don't think that the wannabe cop should have followed him, you know, down the street a bit. But now black friend defends shooter of Florida teen, says that he's known him for years. In fact, it's a black anchorman there locally that's friends with George Zimmerman. Witnesses have told police, that, and this has been in their day one, that Trayvon Martin was on top of Mr. Zimmerman and had, quote, well, now we know his nose was broken. My point is, why are they making such a big, giant deal out of this? Why is the Justice Department coming out and saying that they may charge him with hate crimes? And now the Black Panther Party, the new Black Panther Party, is saying vigilante arrest him. My point is, when a cop shoots a black guy in handcuffs and then lies about it, you don't see Obama come out and talk about it because that's seen as the system. But when they can try to play black off against white, they do it because the system, the prostitutes, want us fighting with each other instead of knowing it's the big offshore megabanks. Your take on all that?
Oh, you're 100% right. I agree with you. And let's bring it to another level. Is there racism? Of course there is. Are there ethnic slurs about different nationalities and groups? Hey, you put on an equivalent of what was that show? Sopranos. Yeah, do that with a black, a Hispanic, or a Jew. See how far you get. Is that kind of thing going on? Sure. Do I like it as Italian? No. But let's not call America a racist country, because let's make this really clear. The people in this country elected a black president. If you can't have more proof than that, you know, let's call it a day here. Because this guy, maybe there was a hate crime here, maybe. But this is not This is not an overtly racist country. Not when you have a black man sitting in the United States and the attorney general's black. Give me a break.
Well, let's remember this. Whenever there's black on white crime, the media will not cover it. But take the lacrosse team. Turned out that was all made up. They had to drop the charges. Same people, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, in there implying that white guys are a bunch of devils. Folks, I'm white, and I'm here to tell you, I am not thinking hateful things about people. I want everybody to do well. I want to live in peace, and I'm sick of the prostitutes because they're the ones trying to stir this up. They're the same prostitutes that said, attack Iraq. They're the same ones that told you Corzine's a nice guy. If the prostitutes are stirring up this Trayvon Martin thing, and why are black people on average getting so mad just when the media tells you to get mad? Again, it's a manipulation.
Well, it's the same manipulation. We hate Muslims in this country. You know, so of course it's a manipulation. It's Big Brother.
They want us. Why do you think they're pulling this right now? Because there's lots
of. Because they want to get our minds off the major issues. As I said, look at the presidential reality show. Look at these three characters, a Romney, a Santorum, and an Obama. You know, Larry Moe and Curly. I mean, come on. You couldn't make this one up. There's Obama in the papers I see the other day, and he's in North Korea, and it says Barack Obama, commander-in-chief, and he has these field glasses looking over at the DMZ between South Korea and North Korea. I mean, come on. What commander-in-chief?
Did you see where he said, oh, communism's terrible. It's like it's frozen in time. Well, he's bringing in fascism where they communalize our wealth and then steal it to these megabanks.
Exactly. Look, we haven't had a commander-in-chief in this country since Dwight D. Eisenhower. I mean, little Georgie Bush playing commander-in-chief. Any of these guys that want to call themselves commanders-in-chief, get on the white horse and lead the charge or shut your mouth. Like they're doing to this guy Bales, this poor guy. You know, I don't know what happened over there in Afghanistan. But if we're going to have a murder trial, let's start with Bush and Cheney and all those Congress people that voted for the war and sent them over there. You want to have a murder trial? Let's have a war trial, war crimes tribunal for the people that are prosecuting this war.
I agree. You want to invade Uganda to get the imaginary Coney? How about we arrest Bush and Cheney and all the rest of them right now? Absolutely. Gerald Celente is our guest. We're going to jam in a few phone calls. Your quick questions, 800-259-9231. Stay with us. TrendsResearch.com.
You look like an angel. Walk like an angel. Talk like an angel. But I got wise. You're the devil in disguise.
We've got Webster Griffin Tarpley joining us at 15 after next hour for 45 minutes to cover a host of important issues. But when we start the next hour, we'll do that short segment and then one part of the next, taking your phone calls for Gerald Celente. Mike, James, Mojo, Carol, and Shane will have time to take five calls. Your quick questions for Gerald Celente. But I wanted to raise the point here that analyzing this, historically, the elite have a plan to control us, but they don't have a plan, the kleptocrats, to control themselves, because none of the crooks can tattle on the other one because they've all got dirt on each other. Now the stealing is out in the open. What I'm seeing, what I'm getting from high-level sources is, for 5 years, there's been a snatching and a grabbing, that they're just looting things now and planning to leave the country. But they're going to leave us behind with a police state that they think is going to do a rear guard action from anybody ever going after them. And that's why they're getting away with all this craziness. But Ruger, in just a few months, sold over 1 million guns. They've got their 1 million-plus back order right now. All the other gun manufacturers, I go to gun stores now, and half their shelves are bare. The ammo's gone. The American people are buying around 5 million guns a month now. Everyone I talk to knows the government's criminal and has a line in the sand. You try to put me in a work brigade. You try to forcibly inoculate me. You come on my property. People are getting to the point. The system thinks they're wimps. They're actually just very sad and desperate. I don't think the bureaucracy, Gerald, realizes that they're going to stick their arm in a bear trap and that this country is on the edge. Because if you've got 200 million gun owners, 1% fights back, that's 2 million combatants. And the government's gearing up for war. But all the drones, all the fancy equipment is not going to stop people. If you got 2 million people to fight back, all they got to do is go find one bureaucrat, one globalist. It's game over. And I'm not, again, I don't want it to go there, but I'm telling the globalists, don't start a fight you can't back up. Gerald Celente.
Well, Alex, that's all they ever do is start fights that they keep losing. These are psychopaths. Was Vietnam a nice one that they started for fake reasons? Oh, let's go back to Korea. I forgot that one. How about that lovely Iraq war? You remember that one? Because Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Afghanistan? Hey, Alexander the Great couldn't win. The British got their behind kicked. Well, Russians got thrown out. Their empire collapsed. But George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and the rest of the little creeps out there, they were going to start another winter. How about the beauty Obama started over there in Libya? That's now a civil war. Oh, did you read today? The United States is sending help to the Syrian rebels. Oh, non-lethal. What rebels? Who are they? What I'm saying, Alex, you have people that are deranged. They don't look at the consequences. So, yes, they're going to start this. And, yes, they believe they can enslave us all. And, by the way, I want to make this official announcement. Regardless of who wins in November, I, Gerald Celente, demand the cabinet position of Secretary of Trends and Consequences, so that we could look at what you're doing and how it's going to end up, because they never do that.
No, 9 out of 10 reactors, most of them 40 years old, are now leaking, and their answer is, because the radiation eats holes and everything, just raise the level and say it's safe. Just like 20 years ago they wouldn't let troops use DU, now they do. I mean, it's true. The elite are not in control, folks. They're crazy people.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Folks, Iran and the Mideast nuclear mess is already ballooning our gas prices. Whether you're struggling with food costs, which are being blown up by gas costs now, or know that when the Mideast showdown explodes, whatever food supply you have is all you'll get because of huge panic demand, eFoods Direct Family Packs are the answer. Now, the most affordable, best food is saving you up to 50% compared to other poor quality food companies. The new Alex Jones Quick Fix Family Packs save you so much money, the savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. No matter what effect the Mideast crisis or the crashing economy have, you'll have food as delicious tonight as 25 years from now. Order now for 50% savings and free shipping on these affordable family packs. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Again, throughout history, elites think they're in control. They don't get challenged when they commit a bunch of crimes. They go hog wild crazy. And we're now entering that level where Corzine openly perjures himself, steals money, and doesn't get in trouble. And the corporate whore media goes along with it. Mike in California, you're on the air with Gerald Celente. Go ahead.
Thank you. Gerald, thank you for your fervor and your voice. I have two quick questions. One, with the possibility of a unconstitutionally declared war in Iran, perhaps, it seems like now would be a key point for the American people to demand the impeachment of a president that would declare a next war without the vote of Congress. And
how about they declare the corporate whore media cover the fact that an impeachment proceeding's begun? What's the second question?
Second question for Gerald was, how would a voter protest work?
Okay, Gerald?
Well, again, you know, the impeachment proceedings have, as Alex said, already begun, but the media is not covering them. I personally don't think they'll go anywhere, not in enough time for the election. How would it would be a strike. We call a voter's strike. We're not going out as self-respecting people with dignity and courage and integrity to cast our ballot for a lesser of two evils. We want a rerun. We want to start this process all over again. We don't like the creeps that you put
up there. So it's a no confidence
vote. Represent us.
It's saying none of the above. You like going to a dealership, they got two junky cars. You don't want either one.
Stay home. Stay home. A voter's strike that we should not even waste our time to buy into their criminal system. As you pointed out, Alex, the game is rigged anyway. The voter fraud's everywhere. We know who controls.
So you're saying it's time to really declare that in most national level, it is a fraud. Quit playing along with it. And instead of just not voting, people are already doing a voter strike for decades. Let people know and go out the week of the election and everybody protest, not even against, just saying there's no election, there's election fraud, it's all a scam. I think that's a good idea. I'm going to get behind you on that. Let's develop a plan on that. James in Texas, let's call their bluff. James in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex. Gerald, I'm a fan of both your work. Alex, I've listened to your show for 10 years since I was in college, and you really inspire me.
Thank you.
I've got quite a strange story involving Goldman Sachs and Freemasons and a tie-in. I know you're from Dallas. I'm from the family that owned the Times Herald and KRLD back in the day.
That's Belo, right?
Belo bought up all their assets.
Yeah.
Closed down, you know, print and all that, and KRLD is now WFAA. But anyway, when all that happened, when the buyout occurred and all that, my family became very wealthy. They already were, but it kind of quadrupled their wealth. And the bulk of that wealth was managed at Goldman Sachs. Well, about 3 years ago, my aunt, who was the current standing matriarch of my family, came down with Alzheimer's, and it took a toll pretty quickly. And once Goldman Sachs got wind of this, $9 million mysteriously disappeared out of her net worth. Well, she had Alzheimer's, so she wasn't really all there to do anything about it or even think about it, really. And so I had a cousin who had her power of attorney and was the executor of her estate. And he started investigating this.
You know what? You know what, sir? I'd like to, if this is true, I'd like to have you on as a guest sometime. We're almost out of time, but let me talk to you during the break. But we'll come back and get Gerald's take on what's going on. I mean, this sounds like par for the course. I know so many people that are in the stock market who have money in accounts or stocks, and they just rob their clients. I mean, you've got the Goldman Sachs guy going public saying they do that to their customers.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, if you just joined us, Gerald Celente is with us for about 7-8 more minutes. We'll take some more calls here. And we were just taking a call from a gentleman who was saying that Goldman Sachs took money away from his grandmother that they were managing. I don't know about that case, Gerald, but what do you think of the report of one of their presidents, one of their top guys, quitting, as you know, 2 weeks ago and saying that they have distaste for their customers, that they're there to rip them off, they call them Muppets? I mean, this is This is really another bird's eye view into the mindset we're dealing with, Gerald.
Now, we've been saying this, you know, since it began. You've heard me say it. If the names on Wall Street were named Salenti, Caruso, Mondavi, Buccini, Rossini, they'd call it the mafia. But you're not allowed to call the financiers crooks or criminals. I'd like to read you something from the Financial Times. Quote, as Mr. Corzine testified before Congress, he asked that the overdrafts with J.P. Morgan be corrected, said Stephen Goldberg, a spokesman for Mr. Corzine. Quote, he never directed Ms. O'Brien or anyone else regarding which accounts should be used to cure the overdrafts, and he never directed the customer that customer funds should be used for that purpose. Now, that's legalese crap, Goldberg. Let's make this really straight. They're in a crisis situation. They need $200 million really fast, and they don't have it. Where are they getting it from? You don't need Sherlock Holmes to figure this one out. You go to clients like me and steal their money, Goldberg. So save it, Goldberg. Tell it to Anderson Cooper 180. Don't tell it to me. You're full of crap. They're $200 million short. They know where they were getting the money. This is a lot of baloney. And they get away with it. And you know why they get away with it? I'll tell you why they get away with it. Because they're all better than we are. They go to Harvard. They go to Princeton. Don't you know who their father was? Hey, look at, don't say anything bad about George Bush. His mother will start getting down your back. It's all a club, and everybody out there, get it straight. You're not in it. And no matter what you do, you're never going to get in it.
All right, let me go.
Because they don't want you in it, because then they got to cut the piece of the pie up more. How can a bunch of crap spewing out of Goldberg's fat mouth make it into the media? $200 million. They can't find the money. Where did it come from? Where the hell do you think it came from? Get $200 million. We're going under. I don't care how you get it. That's the real story.
Well, expanding on that, we played the clip of new listeners just joined us on XM or however they're listening, that Terrence Duffy, the head of the CME, saw the money come up missing, had a meeting on the phone with the executives, and they said Mr. Corzine ordered it and authorized segregated accounts. That's been on record for almost 4 months. We know he, earlier, Corzine said he never even knew money was transferred, period. He's been caught perjuring himself, and now the corporate whore media is trying to dance around this so their readers don't know that they're just as complicit as Corzine in all of this criminality. And what these idiots don't get is that nobody's safe if he doesn't get punished. If they're allowed to start stealing this nakedly, nobody's money and nobody's property safe. Confidence is going to be lost. Why would they risk the system like this at this point then? You got me fired up now, Gerald. Why would they do that? Because they know more of it's coming and they're testing things right now.
You got it. This thing is collapsing in front of everybody. Look what's going on over there in Europe with that Draghi. Oh, excuse me. Maybe he's the honorable Draghi. He's the head of the European Central Bank. You got to put names in front of their names, you know. And what did he do? He just dumped in 1.3 trillion euros for the banks to borrow at very low, like 1% interest rates. Actually, can make money on it by putting it back in the bank. They make another 25% when they hold it to buy out these crappy bonds. Oh, and by the way, they don't have to pay back the money in 3 years. Oh, and where's Draghi from? Son of a gun. Wasn't he the vice chairman of Goldman Sachs, the European division?
The federal regulators are all former Goldman Sachs. I mean, it's just a literal organized crime syndicate running around robbing everyone. And now, oh, have you heard they want UN immunity now in the brokerage firms? If they hold any carbon credit businesses, all of their business is to now have global government diplomatic immunity. Fox News, Gerald.
Yeah, again. And going right back to the J.P. Morgan, the MF Global one. I mean, who's this guy BSing? They needed $200 million. What did they get? Where did they come up with the money? They only could come up with it from one place. Again, like I said, sure, you don't need Sherlock Holmes on this case. But anyway, going back to Europe and the whole system collapsing, all they did was paper over it temporarily. They gave these banks the money to buy those crappy bonds that aren't worth anything in Ireland, in Spain, in Portugal, in Italy, in Greece, and anywhere else.
When does it blow?
Hungary is the whole thing is collapsing.
Let's jam in a few final calls here because we've got to get to them. Callers, please, just one quick question for Gerald. He's got to go, and our next guest is coming up. Mojo in Illinois, you're on the air with Gerald Celente.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Well, I wanted to speak to the director of T's and C's. I have a question for Gerald. What do you think about all of these banker resignations all over the globe that is being tracked?
Great question. Hundreds are resigning.
I'll give you one that could even top that. One of the top guys is resigning from the CME group. That's right. Hardly made the news. And this guy Duffy, they're covering themselves. That's all this is about. This thing is collapsing. And I'll tell you, man, if you want to know a good entrepreneurial opportunity in the years to come, guillotines really might be a big business. That's why they're getting out, because they know the people are angry. These aren't bankers. Let's go through the proper language. They're money changers. They're loan sharks.
They're fraudsters.
They're fraudsters.
I mean, in fact, the head of the Texas Banking Commission went public and said, these banking rules let six mega criminal groups come in and take us over who are engaged in real banking. I mean, that's what all the nouveau riche and even billionaires need to get. This small group of banksters wants to destroy you. It's us or them. They're crazy. I mean, look at Corzine making 40-1 bets. Now they're trying to muscle the Russians and the Chinese. Folks, they're not going to back off. Do you understand that? The Russians never back off. Don't people understand that these bankers are fat on our blood and think that the whole world's going to act like fat, dumb Americans and roll over to tyranny? It isn't going to happen. They're going to start a nuclear war. They've all got to go to jail now. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. Carl in Oregon, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Carlo from Oregon.
Hey, go ahead, sir.
Hello, old friend. Geraldo, my paisano. I love your charisma. I just love it.
We're almost out of time, sir. It says Carl on the screen. Carlo, go ahead.
No, I'm kidding. It is Carl, but I'm part Italian for my
That's wonderful. We got to move, though. I know callers like to correct me on names and stuff. Just please, sir.
Okay. I have 20 G's in Scottrade, a fiat currency. Should I just pull an exit stage left or what?
Oh, I can't give you that kind of advice. I'm not permitted to by law, so I can't say anything on that.
What would you do, Gerald? I mean, what are you doing?
I make it really clear. I tell you what happened with me with HSBC. When I went to take out a large withdrawal, I called them up the day before, told them what time I was coming, and then we called them back. I couldn't make it. We gave them another time. I went there. They wanted me to speak to the manager. I sat down, and the manager said to me, Mr. Celente, this is a sizable withdrawal. What are you going to do with the money? And I said, none of your business. And she said, that's no way to start a conversation. I said, how about none of your damn business? And it went on from there. 40 minutes later, I got my money. I had a fight with Key Bank right around the corner over here twice. They don't want you to take the money out of the bank because they're using it, just like John the Slime Corzine used it, to cover their bad bets.
Incredible.
That's
listen,
all
Carl.
It is.
Carl wasn't trying to snap at you. I appreciate you listening. I'm just really upset about what's happening and trying to get all these callers in before he's got to go. We got a minute and a half left. Then we're coming back with the one, the only Webster Tarpley with key info, tarpley.net. Shane in Illinois, last caller. Go ahead.
How's it going, guys? First time caller. I just want to make it quick here. Mr. Gerald Celente, do you think, or what if, this whole Corzine MF Global scandal is just the Trojan horse for them to see if they can get away with it and start taking other people's accounts?
That's Alex. That's what Alex is saying. That's what I agree. That's what I'm trying to say. You don't own your money unless you have it. End of story. That is the way I look at it. And that's the way, and this MF Global thing, I believe, as Alex does, it's just testing the grounds to see how much they could get away with and how much they could steal from you.
That's it. Call or anything else?
I was watching the clip earlier, and it looked like Corazine got caught stealing from a candy store when he was like five. He looked scared, like he was going to get arrested or something. He knows that.
We're going to get Kaiser on later in the week. They say that the head of Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, called him up and said, look, you're dead unless you give me that money. I mean, that's how these guys operate. They're the real gangsters.
Alex, again, it's as old as the Bible. The only time the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, becomes violent is when he drives the money changers out of the temple. So as I say, if the Prince of Peace could become violent, I could become angry for John the Slime Corzine and his mouthpiece, Little Goldberg, trying to cover for him as they steal my money. And if people don't like it and they don't want to speak up and fight back, hey, all aboard.
Trends
Get
Research.
Straight to Auschwitz.
Trendsresearch.com, Infowars.com. Gerald, great job. God bless you. We'll be right back with Webster. All right, Webster Griffin Tarpley is our guest. We're getting him lined up to go on air with us here. And there's so much that I want to discuss with him today in the time we have. So much that's happening in the media and in our world. But Webster doesn't even know what I'm going to ask him here up front. But I want his take on this before we get into Libya, Uganda, Syria, what's happening domestically. What do you make of the Trayvon James thing? Because that's the biggest story in the country right now. And turns out that Mr. Zimmerman has these black friends coming out and defending him. Turns out witnesses told police, this was never released in the report, that Trayvon Martin was on top of him, punching him in the face. I'm not taking sides in this, but it looks like one of these manufactured diversions, and it looks like Obama, because you were the first to talk about this 4 years ago. You've written three books on it, but I know in one of them you talk about Odinga when he didn't win the election in Kenya, and all of this was going on, that he told, and the letter's public, he told Odinga to cause riots and inner strife between Christian blacks and Muslim blacks as a way to try to force his way into some type of government position. They created a prime ministership for him. My gut tells me this is like a beta test, so they can use the Trayvon Martin situation with the George Zimmerman situation as a way to beta test some type of race war, limited outbreak, so that Obama has an excuse to declare an emergency. Do you think that's in left field?
Well, let me say, first of all, Alex, I think that in general, in terms of the big issues, the movement of people who are protesting, right? Even people that one doesn't need to agree with, right? From the Jesse Jacksons to the Al Sharptons, whatever they are right that there is a lot of institutionalized racism in police departments, that there's a double standard, that black suspects are treated differently. I would also go on to say that this Stand Your Ground law in Florida seems to me to be illegal. Monstrosity that makes absolutely no sense, seems to be designed to produce more violent crime rather than less, seems to have had that effect. But then when we get down to the level of the individual facts in this case, I think it's much less clear. And I have also seen a local television report of someone who says that he's an eyewitness, if that's true, that there was an altercation between these two people, and indeed that Trayvon was supposedly punching Zimmerman. So I think that simply is not clear cut at this point. So I really can't comment on who's right and who's wrong in that immediate sense. The idea that Zimmerman goes from being, I think, a Hispanic, which is what he is, to to being just white is also a somewhat strange leap. But certainly the media handling of this, there's absolutely no doubt. This is the kind of incident that the media were waiting for so that they could begin to foment a kind of artificial racial tension looking forward to the Obama re-election campaign. And in concerning the opportunism, in that sense, there's no doubt. On the other hand, again, the complicating factor is that people who are making a big issue out of this are actually pointing to something real, the double standard, the racism, the monstrosity of these stand-your-ground laws, but at the same time, they're doing it for the wrong reason. In other words, they're doing it as for a partisan political cause. So all in all, a somewhat murky kind of situation, not clear-cut. And I am not going to choose one side or the other in this, because I think...
Exactly, but with the Trayvon Martin situation, with the George Zimmerman situation, it's got all the markers of the media trying to play the American people off against each other. And then when you've got real cases of, you know, police shooting a black guy in the back who's in handcuffs and lying about it, then when people protest, oh, the media says it's bad. But when they can just say it's a white guy, it reminds me of that whole lacrosse college team, you know, with the black stripper and all that. It turned out that was made up. There's this real desire to get racial tension going. Overall, why do you think that's going on, Webster?
Well, again, the reason the media do this is because of the at least a large part of these television characters are devoted to getting Obama reelected, and they're devoted to serving him in any way.
All right, stay there. When we come back, I want to ask you why Obama's putting executive orders in to take over the economy, secretly arrest citizens, all the new wars. Where are they going? What's their big strategy? Webster Tarpley of Tarpley.net. Stay with us. Where's your crown?
Where's your crown?
I wanted to ask Tarpley, who has been all over the world, very brave. He never talks about it, but he's somewhat of a madman. He has been in Libya under bombardment. He's gone to Syria, to the areas where people are being killed by snipers. He has been into Central Africa during massacres that are going on. He really is an amazing person, because I have courage. The courage of my convictions, but I'm kind of lazy when it comes to, you know, giant airports with people with leprosy and cigarette smoke billowing everywhere and mosquitoes and malaria. And it's not even fear. I don't want to be around it. It's like, you see what I'm saying? It's more of a form of laziness than... I know we've got one reporter that wants to go to Syria to cover stuff over there, and I'm just like, man, I mean, just by extension, I don't want to be around it. Tarpley has a lot of courage, and I want to get his report from his latest travels on that, because Tarpley, you got proven right about Al-Qaeda blowing up police stations. They call it protesting when Al-Qaeda... My headpiece unplugged. You know, this headpiece, for some reason, keeps coming out of the plug. It, like, got smaller or something. It just pops out all the time. Tarpley certainly got proven right on that front. And we have now Al-Qaeda killing people being called protesting. I'm not saying Assad's a good guy either, but, I mean, compared to Al-Qaeda, same thing with Muammar Gaddafi. And now they admit what Tarpley told us 8-9 months ago when he was there. He said they're lining blacks up and killing them. First time I ever heard that, when they were in the East. Now it's admitted, but the media's like, well, that's kind of liberal. So I digress. I want to get into Obama's power grab, where he's going. But first, let's get into your travels. Let's get into Corzine. I want to pick your brain on a host of issues about where the Anglo-American establishment is right now, since we've covered the diversion of the whole Trayvon Martin race war they're trying to get cooking. You've been in Africa, the Kony 2012, all of it. What is going on right now?
Actually, Alex, if I might, just some of the things you were just mentioning, I'm going to be at the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C. on a week from today, next Monday, April 3rd, I think it is. April 2nd? Anyway, it's next Monday. And David Frum, remember him? He was a speechwriter in the Bush White House. He coined the term Axis of Evil for that State of the Union. And then Jonathan Kay, that I think you talked to, right? He's got you in his book, right, Among the Truthers. So I'm going to be debating them about 9/11 conspiracy theories, black ops, and more. 6:30 at the Spy Museum a week from today.
Yeah, so. Frum's attacked me many times. He's a chief neocon. Right. And the other guy wanted me to be in his book. I refused to. But I still think I haven't read the whole book.
Anyway.
Is that the guy out of Canada?
Yes, right. They're both from Canada.
No, because I had people show me the passage. He implies we had an interview, and I was never interviewed by him.
Well, we'll try to straighten that out a week from today. Anyway, I think a good place to start is what's going on with Obama. We can see his intentions maybe most clearly from what he's doing in Seoul, South Korea. Right, we have this World Nuclear Summit. Right, a lot of countries are there, and we have this very interesting inadvertent, or maybe advertent, I don't know, but we have this sort of a leak where Obama is talking to Medvedev, who is still the president of Russia for a few more weeks until Putin takes over. Obama says to Medvedev, you got to give me a little more time, right? Like the song, give me a little more time because I'll have more flexibility after my re-election. And what he's talking about is anti-ballistic missile defense, right? The fact that the U.S. is putting these SM-3 interceptors and also Aegis cruisers in places along, you can say, the western edge of Russia, I suppose we could say, in the Black Sea, in the Baltic, in the Atlantic. And these are interpreted by Russia, and I think correctly, as part of a threatened first strike by the United States against Russia in some situation of tremendous...
Yeah, that way you can nuke Russia with the nuclear subs and ICBMs, and when Russia tries to launch a retaliatory strike, when the missiles are incoming, the anti-missile system shoots those down, so it's a sneak attack grid.
Yes, and of course you have to look at what is he trying to do? This is the last hurrah for Medvedev, at least as president, at least now, and hopefully for permanently. Medvedev has been an absolute disaster. Medvedev is a weakling. He's an appeaser. He did that hamburger diplomacy with Obama. That was idiotic. He went to Silicon Valley and fawned on Jobs and Gates and these people. He's got all kinds of problems, right? He's got a long list. But now he's on his way out. So you can see what Obama's trying to do is to get the last use that they can out of this weakling Medvedev to try to delay the Russian countermeasures. In other words, the Russians say, fine, if you put in this system that's directed against us, then we're going to install these Iskander short-range ballistic missiles in the area around Kaliningrad. Now, you take a look at that. That's the old East Prussia. It's separated from the main body of the Russian Federation by the Baltic states, right? Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, which are now independent countries and indeed NATO members. But the Russians still have this exclave, right? It's like an island of Russia that sits much further west in territory that used to be Germany, right? So it's East Prussia. So Medvedev says, Putin has said, and the Russians have said, if you insist on having an anti-ballistic missile system, then we're going to put in these really fast strike weapons, right, that could hit, you know, NATO bases in Germany within 2 or 3 minutes. So we'll balance you that way. So what Obama is obviously doing is saying, don't do that. Let me get reelected. I'm your friend. Give me a little more time. I need some space. And indeed, it looks like Medvedev says, for whatever it's worth, yes.
But that's Obama's standard deal. I don't worry. They're not going to pass NDAA, and I don't want the secret arrest provision. Turns out he demands it, has it put in, but then says, don't worry, I won't sign it, then does sign it, then says, I won't use the power. Now he says he will. I mean, it's just total deception.
Right, and that's of course Obama's stock in trade. Whereas with Bush, we had this blunt, in your face, brute, reactionary, imperialist, aggressor, warmonger. With Obama, we have deception, dissembling, treachery, stab in the back, all this stuff. But now, what does this have to do with that executive order? The conversation between Medvedev and Obama, it seems to me, makes sense in this kind of a framework. The U.S. and NATO really have to push forward the destabilization of Syria, in particular, as much as they can. And once you do that, once you get involved in some kind of conflict with Syria, then you're likely to be embroiled in a conflict with Iran and Hezbollah and others at the same time. This is at least the logic of a possible plan, maybe not the plan, but a plan. And if you get to a confrontation, suppose the U.S. says we're going to attack Iran, and Russia says don't do it. Iran, of course, you look at the map, right? It's very close to the southern edge of what used to be the Soviet Union. You have the Caspian Sea. If you had a pro-NATO militant government in Iran, this would be the gateway to destabilize the Trans-Caucasus, lots of parts of Russia. The Central Asian states would drift further away from Russia. It would be really a geopolitical
disaster. They could send in all the loving Al-Qaeda forces. I want to shift gears away from Russia. I know you're focused on that right now because it's the heart of all this.
But general encirclement.
But what about Syria, where they say Al-Qaeda blowing up bases and police departments is the new protesting? They're actually calling it loving protesting, and a police fire back, it's called outrageous.
Well, it looks to me like these are the tactics of desperation. Now, thanks to the fact that Medvedev has been pushed into the background, because that is what has made it possible, the ascendancy of Putin and the fact that the Russians have vetoed these attack resolutions and they've taken the Chinese with them on that, that has now allowed the Syrian army to go into these neighborhoods, really, these parts of cities which had been the only strongholds of these rebels, right? I call them death squads, right? Because that's really what they are. It's NATO death squads that have come in from abroad, plus the deserters and draft resistors and others that they've gathered around them, plus fanatics from the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda and so forth. Those have been pretty much methodically quelled. That would be Homs, that would be Idlib in the north, that would be Deraa in the south. There's another town over by the Iraqi border that has been quelled. They're all along the borders because that's where NATO has been able to ship in their fighters and their supplies and so forth. So right now, the actual rebellion, the activity of the death squads and their fellow travelers has reached a low ebb. And the response to that, of course, by these desperados, the rebels, if we can call them that, is to say, well, we're going to go to Damascus now. We're going to take the war to Damascus and carry out terrorism in Damascus. And the people doing this, indeed, are, in many cases, Al-Qaeda veterans. Some of them are Al-Qaeda veterans that fought under Belhaj in Libya last summer, and they've then been shipped over to Turkey and then into Syria. That's where they're now operating. So what we've always said, that Al-Qaeda is the CIA Arab Legion. Al-Qaeda is the infantry of NATO when they attack these countries.
It's also used to take our liberties. But what do you make of the admissions now that Google is NSA-run, with the former head of DARPA running it, and that they did indeed do the Arab Spring? Why do they want to put Muslim extremists in charge of all these countries?
I think the goal is to weaken them. The idea being that such stability as the Middle East has had has come through governments that you could generally say are some form of Arab socialism. I mean, that's the common denominator of these places. They all go back to President Nasser of Egypt, and a lot of them have strayed very far from what he represented. But if you look at Gaddafi in Libya, Assad in Syria, Mubarak in Egypt, whatever else they were, they claimed to be nationalist military. Now, again, a lot of them, you know, completely struck out. Right? Mubarak, especially in his last 20 or 25 years, was not really doing anything. But again, better than a civil war, right? And that's really the choice, right? Because you look at Assad, You can say, well, there are problems with Assad. But if the choice becomes Assad or civil war, Assad or chaos, it's clear the choice has to be Assad, but not for the Syrian National Council, a bunch of foreign activists who were paid by NATO intelligence services, and not for the Syrian, the Free Syrian Army, right, which is this
Well, sure, the State Department's real stated goal is to destabilize, put extremists in, put burqas on all the women's heads, slaughter the Christians and Jews. That's what the forces have said they're going to do in Syria. That's them saying it. And then I'm anti-American because I don't want to put Al-Qaeda in. I mean, how do they sell this? Give your rights up. Al-Qaeda's going to hit you. But then Al-Qaeda are freedom fighters.
Well, of course, the contradiction, it couldn't be more gaping, and couldn't be the hypocrisy, the double standard couldn't be more obvious. On the one hand, you know, Al-Qaeda is if you're in Pakistan or Waziristan or someplace, if you have Al-Qaeda passing by the door, they can come and bomb you and destroy your house, too, in the process. But somehow in Libya, it's a different brand of Al-Qaeda, I guess, and that they become freedom fighters. This is simply the bankruptcy of the foreign policy that we've had for the past 10 or 12 years, but now they've twisted it and turned it so many times that it's I think becoming obvious to a lot of people around the world. But the point is, this entire model has broken down in Syria, right? It's failing. Now, some point during the course of this year, London and Washington will be confronted with the fact, well, your Syrian destabilization has been a complete failure, and your attack on Iran, your encirclement of Iran, is also therefore failing. What do you do? If they decide to go to a confrontation, that's where the stuff with Russia comes in, and that's really what Obama is trying to get. He's saying, give me until November, December before you do your countermeasures. The idea then being that if, you know, in July or August or September, right, the prime military season and the prime bombing season, if we get a confrontation between the U.S. and Russia over some massive issue in the Middle East, the U.S. blackmail potential will be greater if the Russian countermeasures have not been done. The Russians want to put these missiles in the Kaliningrad area and also on the Russian coast of the Black Sea, right, opposite the Balkans, opposite Turkey. So this is very, very serious and much too important to be left
in. And Russian troops are being injected into Syria on record now. I mean, this is disastrous. Briefly, what do you make of Corzine openly being caught stealing the money, which we already knew, not getting in trouble, Europe melting down, austerity, everything you talked about in the Obama deception coming true? What's the next phase of this?
Well, of course, what it shows is the corruption of the Democratic Party, right? We've got this wonderful country of ours where we've got reactionary Republicans on the one side, but then the alternative to that becomes Wall Street Democrats. And among the Wall Street Democrats, Corzine is one of the champions, right? He was a senator from New Jersey.
Governor.
And he got bored with that. He decided to become governor of New Jersey. And then he was voted out because he was not a good governor. Again, how can you be when you've got, you know, your main focus is how to help Wall Street. So I think there's a, you know, he's now been caught with his hand in the till, right? This is I guess embezzlement, and a pretty big bezel involved at that. Whether he's above the law, well, I guess we're soon going to find out, right? What about Attorney General Eric Holder? Are you going to enforce the law against the finance oligarch, or did they all get off, right? Sometimes they do.
Meanwhile, Holder's shipping guns into Mexico to blame the Second Amendment. It's just a bunch of crooks.
Yes. And, of course, at that point, well, at that point, the answer would have to be political.
But Webster undoubtedly saying they'll arrest citizens, take over infrastructure. I mean, they really are trying to start basically cooling, the public's out buying guns, but they're now taking out a deep freeze and warming up all these police state grids. I certainly hope the oligarchs don't think they're going to use some type of martial law here. Even with a false flag, it's not going to work.
No, and that, I guess that gets us to Obama's executive order. Now, the executive order, obviously, he wanted to do this surreptitiously, right? He wanted to do a stealth operation. These are these Friday afternoon, 5 o'clock, Washington, D.C., the rush hour is on, and then they reveal these things. So he's essentially mobilizing what has already always been there, right, since 1950, the Defense Production Act.
Stay there.
The question is, why now?
Yeah, we're going to come back and answer that question, why now, with Webster Tarbley. By the way, plug one more time when we come back, the intriguing debate you're going to have with some little nasty globalist minions on the other side. Boy, I wish I could be there for that. Stay with us. Webster Tarpley's our guest. Listen, we're going to get into Obama and the executive order here with Tarpley, but he was talking to me during the break, and I was like, hey, I need to send a cameraman up to D.C. to the International Spy Museum next Monday when you're going to debate David Frum and Jonathan Kay and a bunch of other people. And he said, oh, sorry, they're not letting anybody else tape. It's just them. So it's a TV production. And it's going to be Tarpley with like five people against him, with David Frum, the neocon from the White House, moderating. I mean, that would be like having, having the Washington Redskins coach moderating as a referee in the Dallas Cowboys versus the Washington Redskins sudden death overtime in Super Bowl 87, you know, in the future. I mean, it is total conflict of interest. So I'll say this, it's $15 to get in. Neocons only watch Fox News, so they don't even know this event's coming up. But it's 9/11 false flags and black ops, an evening of debate with David Frum, Jonathan Kay, and Webster Tarpley. So it's $15. Members of the inner circle, I guess that means if you're members to it, $12. I want patriots to get in there, and I want you guys, you know what to do. Get video of this. Don't, because what's going to happen is, I'm going to guess, they're doing a TV production for History Channel or Discovery or something, and they're going to cut it up, Webster, where you look like you've been lobotomized by a monkey with a jackhammer.
I assume now, if maybe you want to contact them directly and ask about having a camera, because that part I didn't really look into.
Hey, we'll
myself.
Just turn loose the InfoWarriors. They'll get cameras in. You know, they've got to hide it where they hide the watch in Pulp Fiction. They're going to get them in. anyways, but you're going to go in there with these piranhas, huh?
Yeah, look, I think it's important because, what are the issues, right? I mean, there's this broad issue of...
No, but say the Latin thing, because it's, you know, any publicity is good publicity, and people attack me. I love it. And teach me that Latin.
This is a Roman proverb, right? So it's in Latin, and it goes like this. Bona fama, good fame. Mala fama, bad fame. Semper fama, right? Semper is always fame, fama. So bona fama, mala fama, semper fama. Good fame, bad fame, it's all the same. It's all fame, and we'll take it. On Broadway, we say, a knock is a boost. If you attack me, it means that I'm somehow important enough to be worthy
exactly.
of attack, right? There's no such thing as bad publicity and so forth, right?
All of my enemies with jealousy and operatives and all of them, they've only helped us. Just the Bible says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So keep it coming. I love it.
And, of course, you have to go into the blood and sand of the arena, right? This is the arena in which the battle of ideas has to take place. So when you have the opportunity, you have to do it.
But it's important to point out it's rigged. They wouldn't have to have 2-1, 3-1, and they run the rules. The only way they're letting you in the arena is with both hands tied behind your back, and you'll still, absolutely clean the floor with them, Webster.
You have to be ready for that. That's for sure.
I would just ask them, hey, how come two passports got found that day? It's not just that they survived, they were found. And then I'd go, oh, why were they trained at U.S. military bases? Newsweek, why was Mayor Willie Brown warned not to fly? San Francisco Chronicle, why was U.S. troops massing around Tajikistan and Uzbekistan in the month before 9/11 and Bush signed the launch order to attack the day before? Source Associated Press, Newsweek. Oh, you want some more?
My idea would be that not to go so much into these technical details, but rather the question of the invisible government, the rogue network, what that has meant for the United States, why that is a threat to everybody's future, why it's real, that it's empirical.
Yeah, because it's going to be a bunch of spies there from all different governments in the meeting.
I hope so.
Of course there will be. Stay there, Webster. I want to get into the executive order.
From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
That's right. Only got 5 minutes left with Tarpley. And then coming up, we're going to have Gerald Celente on and more. Big transmission lined up. You're going to be listening to rebroadcast as well later. But we're live right now. Webster, finishing up here, I just imagine you in that arena with those piranhas. But again, I'm pleased that they have to have it all rigged. That's good. It shows their weakness. It still won't be enough, even though they're delusional, thank God. Well, we're beating them so badly right now, so let's let that continue. Webster, getting into the executive orders, as you said, they're thawing out things that were meant for during a nuclear war when Congress has all been killed. But Obama's saying for any reason, including threats, peacetime martial law is what all the constitutional scholars are calling it. They're scared, aren't they?
Yeah, I think the big question again is the ominous thing is why now? Why do this now? The Defense Production Act has been there since 1950. It's a product of the Korean War. I think many of these provisions could be used in a very positive way. We could use them to get out of the current depression. But this is not what Obama has in mind. He is he's sort of pulling out the Defense Production Act, and he's updating it in the following way. The Defense Production Act up to now, the executive orders that have been issued under Clinton and a couple of others, make FEMA the lead agency in coordinating this emergency economic and maybe political rule, but certainly economic. In other words, the war mobilization, war preparedness of the entire U.S. economy was normally then going to be under FEMA, except FEMA has now been included in the Homeland Security Department. So this means that the head of FEMA is no longer going to be the czar, but it's going to be Napolitano, right? Secretary of Homeland Security. And, of course, her track record of incompetence, malfeasance, nonfeasance, insolence, impudence.
Well, I mean, isn't Mr. Napolitano just a puppet?
Yeah. I mean, of course, you've got to look at, you know, at who and, you know, exactly all the influences that would converge on her.
Him.
That's one side. The other side is that the notion of national defense has been broadened in the following way. There was a law called the Stafford Law, which has to do with natural emergencies, earthquakes, hurricanes, forest fires, things like this. That has all been incorporated in. So those are the two big sort of formalistic changes, that FEMA is no longer the lead agency. They don't chair the Homeland Security Panel or whatever it is. There's a whole interagency group that they've created. Generally, it's going to be the lead agency is Homeland Security, and the definition is broadened to include all of these so-called natural disasters. But now, what is he really looking towards? Well, one could be the obvious, right? Iran, right? Anything with oil, anything with the Hormuz, the Persian Gulf, Arabian Gulf, that could be what he has in mind. It was they want to be ready for a confrontation, and that seems to be where at least some forces are pushing. Another question would be, the short-term collapse of the dollar or the euro and the dollar, some kind of catastrophic dollar panic, a rush to the exits to dump all the dollars in the world, that could make it very hard to get oil. Because obviously
sure.
one of the things that's included in this executive order is stockpiling. You can create, you know, stockpiles of all kinds.
What do you make of the NDAA, though, and the communist Chinese using that as their own secret arrest model? I mean, this is getting really crazy.
Yeah, and again, these things are now adding up, right? Because you've got this NDAA with the, Guantanamo forever with torture.
They're saying they'll spy without warrants now. Why? We only got 30 seconds left. Why is there a coming out of the closet right now?
It can be war with Iran. It can be the depression. It can be that they're looking forward to riots. And this is generally Weimarization. But this is what happened in Germany, 1931-32.
Yeah, get out of the Depression. The next move is dictatorship. Webster, we got to have you out in the next few weeks again. Things are moving so quickly. Tarpley.net, our site's InfoWars.com. Thank you so much, Tarpley. Good luck at that debate. Everybody should buy tickets and be there and support you next Monday in the District of Criminals. Be there, folks. We'll be right back.